Welcome. Welcome, my friends. It is so good to see you this morning on this, the holiest day of the year. Perhaps this is your church home, and you've been coming here for 50 years. Or maybe you're visiting with us for the very first time. Could be that you've come home to visit family, or perhaps you're just checking out Christianity and wondering what all this Easter fuss is all about. Regardless, you are always welcome here at River Road Church, and we're glad you're here. I also want to say a word of thanks to Sarah Pruden for interpreting Mary's story for us so beautifully this morning. It's no coincidence that our worship service began with that dramatic telling of Mary's story, because that's how our scripture lesson today begins as well. It was Sunday morning. Jesus had died the Friday before. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb just before dawn, taking with her spices for Jesus' body. John tells us that Mary set out for the cemetery, quote, while it was still dark. Now we know that for John, the words he writes never mean exactly what he writes. There's always deeper meaning below the surface. So when Jesus tells us that Mary sets out, quote, while it was still dark, I believe he's speaking about more than just the time of day. I think Jesus is telling us about the state of Mary's heart. Who hasn't felt like Mary at one time or another? The phone rings in the middle of the night. Please come quickly. There's been an accident. The family sits down at the supper table. Kids, mommy and daddy love you both very much, but we've decided that we can't remain married to one another. Son, I have some news to share. These headaches that I've been having, well, they found a tumor. In our own ways, which are all so different, yet somehow still all the same, we've all felt like Mary. We've all experienced death and a loss of hope. So Mary arrives at the tomb while it was still dark to pay her respects and to grieve. So contrary to what Hallmark tells us, Easter begins not with chocolate bunnies or lilies. Easter begins at the cemetery. Easter begins with death. Let us not forget that. Mary makes her way to the tomb, a small cave in the rock with a huge stone over the entrance. But once she arrives there, she realizes that the stone has been moved. Can you imagine seeing that? Now, she had seen Jesus beaten, humiliated, and murdered. Now, to add insult to injury, the body has been stolen. She becomes filled with fear and terror and heart-wrenching pain. So she runs back and breathlessly tells Peter and John, "They've taken him. I don't know where he is." Peter and John return home, but Mary is left there weeping. Through her tears, she sees two angels. "Why are you crying?" they ask. "They've taken away my Lord," she says. And when she turns around, standing before her is Jesus. And he is alive. But Mary doesn't quite recognize him yet. She thinks perhaps he is the cemetery gardener. "If you've taken him, please tell me where. I'll go get him." I find it fascinating that Mary does not recognize Jesus when he's standing right in front of her. I find that fascinating until I remember all the times I've done the same thing. But then Jesus speaks her name, Mary. Now she knows. How could she ever forget that voice? Now she knows. It is Jesus. He is alive. Praise God, he is alive. Mary cannot believe it. Jesus, who was dead, is alive again. So she runs to tell the others, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Those five words were the first and perhaps the finest resurrection sermon ever preached. And because of Mary's sermon, we have a sermon too. The great news of Easter is not simply that Jesus was raised from the dead, incredible as that is. The astonishing news of Easter is that we can be raised too. I love how Ronald Luckey puts it. "Easter is about more than a fortunate Jewish rabbi being raised from the dead. It's about the whole world being raised from the dead when he was raised. Easter gives us the hope that the way things have always been will not always be, because Jesus is alive." And I don't know about you, but that is a truth I need to hear. The hope of resurrection can happen for you and me. And that is a truth I need to hear. Just a few days ago, we were glued to our TV screens and cell phones as we watched Notre Dame Cathedral burn. We were horrified, weren't we, as we witnessed the flames shooting upward and the smoke billowing into the Parisian sky. Our hearts sank even further when we saw that tall, beautiful steeple fall. And we knew that what so many refer to as the center of Paris would no longer look the same. But as night began to fall, for me at least, that shock and horror turned somewhat to hope. Not the kind of hope that tells us everything's going to be fine. Not the kind of hope that tells us that everything's going to return to normal soon. But a glimmer of hope that the God who inspired the construction of this great cathedral 800 years ago is the same God that is with us now in our moment of grief. And perhaps you saw the television coverage that as night fell, Parisians of all ages gathered near that great cathedral and began to sing their hymns. Some hymns of lament, some hymns of praise. And I was reminded once again that while Notre Dame may be the cathedral, we are the church. Structures may fall, but the church will rise. And that same spirit was found in St. Landry Parish, Louisiana, several days ago as well. There, three predominantly African American Baptist churches also burned, leading authorities to conclude that not only was it the work of arson, it was also born of hate. Reverend Harry J. Richard, pastor of the Greater Union Baptist Church, said, "They may have burned down our building, but they did not burn down our spirit." Amen to that. As beautiful as this church house is, as significant as this sacred space is for us, as lovely as it looks and smells today, at its core, this is just a building. But it is made holy because the resurrected Christ meets us here. The resurrected Christ calls us to new life and sends us out into this world to share his love. We are the church, and because of Easter Sunday, we will rise. And I don't mean we will rise on the days of our deaths. I mean we will rise right now, today. Dear friends, wherever you have given in to despair, wherever you have said, you know, I guess the way things are, that's just the way they'll always be. Wherever death has you in its tight grip, Christ is standing next to his own empty tomb, and he is calling to you, "My child, arise. Arise from the heap of your discarded dreams. Arise to discover that God Almighty is breathing new life back into you. Arise to live with such brilliant hope, because you never know. Oh, you never know what a surprising God might yet do." I've told you before about Baptist preacher Clarence Jordan. He's one of my spiritual heroes. In 1942, Jordan founded Koinonia Farms near Americus, Georgia. It was an interracial farming community, and by the way, was the spiritual ancestor of Habitat for Humanity. But I don't think I've told you about the time Jordan visited a church in an old mill town of North Carolina. This church could only seat around 300, But on the day he went, Jordan estimated there must have been 600 people all crammed into that sanctuary. But even that wasn't the most shocking thing, Jordan said. This was the late 1950s. And as he walked in the sanctuary, he noticed that it was so thoroughly integrated. Not just black and white, but also rich and poor, all kinds of folks there in the sanctuary. He said, "I was taken so completely off guard when I walked in." And the church's pastor was just a country preacher. He was a local farmer with no formal education. So after the service, Jordan asked him, "How in the world did your church get this way?" "What way?" Jordan said, "Why, a church filled with so many different kinds of folks and so full of love." "Well," pastor said, "when our last pastor left, I went to the deacons and I said, 'If you'll have me, I'll be your preacher.' So they agreed." "The next Sunday," he said, "I opened up the good book and I read aloud, 'As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, because you are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord.'" He said, "Then I closed the book and I said to the church, 'If you're one with Jesus, then you're one with all kinds of folks. And if you ain't, well, then you ain't.'" Jordan said, "What happened then?" "Well, the deacons took me to a back room and they told me they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching anymore." "Yeah, what'd you do?" Jordan asked. The pastor said, "I fired them deacons." And then he said, "Get this." He said, "I preached that church down to 4 people. And after that, we just grew and grew." If God can bring new life in a first century cemetery, if God can bring new life in a burned out cathedral in Paris or to churches in Louisiana, if God can bring new life to a church that dares to welcome and affirm all people, then what might God do with you and me? What new life might God bring to you and to me? I can see it on your faces. You think I'm nuts. "Daniel, this world is in a mess. From hate crimes to terrorism to corrupt politicians to school shootings. Lord, have mercy." "Despite having all the resources in the world, children in our nation still go to bed hungry. People all over this land are still judged not on the content of their character, but on the color of their skin, the God they serve, or whom they love. It's been 2,000 years later, and still we're hoping and praying, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Well, church, maybe I am crazy, but I still believe that Easter is a day to celebrate. Even though the tears may stream down our cheeks at the state of this world, even though we worry over our loved ones, Even though we don't know how we're going to make it, we can still leave this sanctuary following our risen Lord, because we know something that they do not yet know. All is not lost. Failure is not the end. Our God can raise us to new life. Easter means that Christ is alive, and so are we. Easter means the grave couldn't hold Jesus, and it can't hold you and me either. Easter means our future belongs to God and not to this world. So look alive, church. A new day is dawning because Christ is not dead. He is alive. Christ is not dead. He is alive. Christ is not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen.